there tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 2. At the start, we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures. So if you're used to taking notes, then I'll try to go slow enough and repeat these things. I'm going to preface we're teaching this week and next week on the idea of dating. And so I want to preface this idea. I know there's some college students and you're from another church. And your church may teach a little bit differently. Our church, this is kind of what we've settled on and we've taught for a long time. This isn't anything new. The concepts we draw from the Bible. Some people hate the term dating. I understand that. But the world takes a lot of terms that have been used for centuries. All right, the world has taken our Bible and twisted it up. All right, so it doesn't mean that I take my Bible and like, well, I'm not using that anymore. I still like using the Bible. Okay, I know they've taken it and there's all kinds of different versions and all that. So I'm doing that kind of a preface to this lesson. If your pastor doesn't like the term dating, I'm sorry, then talk to your pastor and you can check my ideas, okay? Because you should follow your pastor. Also, there, as far as the concept of dating, there needs to be parent involvement. And we'll talk about that in our second class next week. We're going to deal with that a lot. Dating in our culture has kind of become an obsession. Basically, it's in America, they expect it to be this, universal phenomenon. It's something you do, and it's something that it's considered. I would say it's also a big business. If you were to Google the word matchmaker, you would receive about 21 million responses, and a few of those claiming to be Christian, but most of those not making any claim. And then if you Google dating, you'd get about 700 million ideas that are out there, and they're all ideas. But as a Christian, we're called to be distinct in the ways we think and act. And so this topic is no exception. There is such a thing as, I believe, biblical dating. There are guys that like the word courting. There's some that use the term betrothal. As a church, we have never liked those terms. Courting reminds me of King Arthur's court. And I don't live there. I don't wear the gear either. So I don't like the idea of courting and courtship. I don't think we have to change the terminology all the time. The world eats dinner, so do I. All right, so it doesn't mean that they eat dinner. I'm not doing that anymore. All right, there's things that the world maybe will come in and they try to slip in and take over things. We have seen that. If you were, it was comical today. If you listen to the interview, the Trump report, his news interview with the news. I mean, it's just comical. They don't know what to do because he just sits there and he's like, "No, you're fake. No, you're fake. All right, yeah, I don't like you. And it's comical to me. Because they don't know what to do because he's just like, God, you know what? I don't like that. So you're going to ask me a real question? I mean, it's just, and it really wasn't, it wasn't antagonistic. It wasn't, I mean, he was very casual about it, but it was kind of enjoyable to have somebody, and like even the one guy tried to calm him down and was saying, well, don't you think by calling us fake news all the time that you're hurting the First Amendment? What's comical to me is that news thinks that they are the holder of the First Amendment. I'm like, wait a minute. All right, so it's okay for you to malign the president. Don't you think that's hindering the First Amendment too? I mean, so it's just now all of a sudden news outlets are the determination of what the First Amendment is for you. And I'm so glad that I don't have to think, all right, that there are news outlets that basically can determine how I have to think and what I need to think. But actually someone's holding them accountable, because that's what you do. Well, we come back to this idea of the biblical concept of dating, and that's why we're trying to go to the Bible. And this is what's sad. Surveys, and I have read a lot of these surveys, surveys consistently indicate that professing Christians, and I'm not talking about us in here, but I'm talking about in America, professing Christians behave almost exactly like non-Christians in term of sexual involvement outside of marriage. And both percentages, as far as Christians and non-Christians, they basically, some polls, some surveys, almost indicate that the Christians, as far as morality, it's worse with those that call themselves Christians. All right, I've read surveys on abortion. And some of, basically, abortion rates, Christian and non-Christian, are the same, which is sad. But what it, that's why we go to the Bible. And it doesn't matter if something is saying, well, oh, this is a Christian method. No, I'm gonna analyze it and line it up to Scripture and see if it does line up biblically. As in fact, depending on which statistics one believes, the divorce rate for professing Christians, some say, is actually higher than the world. And that's sad, too. So what we have to look at is in the Bible. So does the Bible have something to say about the topic? We're going to look at a couple of things. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And we know the passage here, Genesis chapter 2, is talking about when Adam, what was his job? Okay, look at verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So then in verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and of every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he could call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. And this seems to indicate to us that in Adam's mind, something was occurring. Okay, he was thinking while he's naming these things. And so it seems to indicate that, but for Adam that was not found and help meet for him. So it seems to indicate that here's Adam and God gives him a job. And he's made in a perfect environment. And Adam is told, hey, I want you to name everything. So he's naming them and he's saying that, you know, here's the elephants and here's the giraffes and here's all these animals. You name them. All right. That's what he did. And he noticed that they were kind of paired up. That's what it seems to indicate to me, because he says that there was companionship even in the animal world. But for Adam, there was no companionship. And so Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. So in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Okay? Now, in this passage, there are not a lot of passages on dating, just so you know. There are people that will be dogmatic. That's why I was, even this afternoon, in some ways, I've been dreading teaching on it because it's not a, there are people that are dogmatic. I'm like, you know what? And I'm like, I don't see that. And I don't. And a lot of it is because God indicates that we need to have good homes. And then from our homes, my job as a dad is to help my daughter, to help my sons, to help them in developing relationships. That's where it strongly is tied to, is the home. And you'd say, well, I don't have that. I understand that. So then God does give you helps there. We're going to talk about that next week. But in this passage, what we find is that God had someone perfectly made for Adam. I think that helps us understand something right away. What does that help us understand? That in the idea of dating out there, it's not like, well, I mean, I don't know, and so I just got to meet people. I've got to go to the matchmaker.com, and I've got to answer out all these questions. Why? Because I have no idea. Do we have a God? All right, in Genesis chapter 2, then you're saying God doesn't know anything. Yeah, he does. He knows and he cares. And you'll notice that, all right, there seems to be a little indication that maybe Adam, there might have been a little bit of unrest, but who took care of all of it? God did. Because what did he do? Put him to sleep. And in his sleep, he took care of that need. And that's, I think, a thing that we can understand as we start out with this idea of dating, biblical concept of it. When there is an anxiousness and an unrest, almost always that anxiousness, and I can say it, that statement dogmatically, okay? Anxiousness and fearfulness and fretting is always wrong. Look in the Bible. Be careful for nothing or be anxious. Right? So when this idea of, well, I mean, I'm going to be single the rest of my life. I don't know. It could be. But if that's the everything, then you're saying God doesn't care about you. And what I can tell you, he does. He cares perfectly for you because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if God took care of Adam, he will take care of you. That's what we know starting out in the Bible. Starting out in this passage, we can see this, that God cares about our needs. Because here's Adam, and he creates a perfect world, and then God says, wow, you know what? It's not good. I'm going to make sure that this world is perfect, and he made someone perfectly fit for Adam. And in our lives, in this idea of dating, I don't have to be like, oh, what am I supposed to do? And be fretting all the time because, oh, you know, I'm 20 now and I'm not married. So I'm 30. I'm not married. I'm sorry. I can't tell you. And that's where some people we'll talk about this next week. Some. All right. I don't believe really in teen dating. All right. Not in, as I say, if you got married at 22 and you live an average life, which is like, you know, 77 now, it keeps getting higher. By the time I'm done with the lesson, it'll probably be 80-something, you know. All right, and so here's 80 years old, and let's say you get married at 20. Right, you got 60 years to be tortured. You know what I mean? 60 years to be in bondage. All right, so there's plenty of time for that. But you'd say, well, I'm 30 or I'm 40. You know what? God knows, and he knows the word, the maturity or the maturation, as we'd say, of a person, the maturity of a person. Right? He knows whether someone, I know people that have been married at 20 years old. Well, that's fine. If that's God's perfect will, then that's God's will for him. All right, maybe it's 30, maybe it's 40. I know people that are married at. I know a guy. He sent me a letter in the fall, and he's I think 82 years old, and he was like, "Hey, I want you to meet my new bride." I'm like, "Wow, I'm like, you know what? At that, I'd be like, ah, you know what? I'm done. I'm through. Okay, but at 80-something years old, he's like, you know what? I'll do it again. All right. But we have to understand that God will perfectly take care of us. And when that is settled in our heart, then this rat race that the world seems to create, and that's what they create. Right? So that, you know, a 12-year-old has all of a sudden got to start looking, you know, not trying to be mean, but trying to look sexy. 12? 12-year-old? That's dead wrong. It's dead wrong. Well, we don't do that. Right? Why? Well, they're 12. Right? And it's silliness. And what's promoting that? Okay, well, most of us know it. It's just that's why I appreciate at least a president attacking the news environment and attacking the media. Why? Because they think they have the right to control everything in America and determine. That's what's been given to them. What's been handed to them is the power in our homes. No, don't hand it to them. You take it back and you say, you know what? I don't really care what Hollywood thinks, and I don't care what if a rock star comes into my home, and I heard a commentator, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and they were talking about it. All right, so the world thinks it's odd. They were making fun, I think, of the guy that was nominated for a Supreme Court justice because his family was there. And that's what the news commentator was saying. Yeah, the liberals, that is weird. That the family would actually be together enough. Because they don't know what that is. Because most of them, you know, they got family everywhere. All right, this wife and this mistress and that one and these kids and all that. And none of them ever want to. Never the twain should meet. All right, because it would be definitely a throwdown. All right, and a fist fight. They're not used to it. They're like, oh, how weird. Well, actually, that's normal. Okay, you're weird. All right, you're weird. And so for the world to come in and settle in and say, hey, you know what? This is what we should do. Be careful of that. Be careful of that pressure from the world that comes in and is trying to establish, hey, this is how you got to do it. So how are their marriages? You know what the answer is. So push back on that peer pressure that the world puts in too. Okay, so God, right away, what do we see? We're seeing that God has a plan, and that's found in Genesis chapter 2. Let me give you some other verses that I think will help. If you're jotting some things down, we're going to just go through these. And we have just a simple thought that we're going to put together in this lesson. But let me give you some verses that I think will help you. 2 Timothy 2:22. All right, I'll give you a bunch of verses that'll help you out. We want to go to the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So 2 Timothy 2:22 tells us, it gives us instruction here. You may say, well, what does that have to do with dating? I'm going to try to tie it together. So 2 Timothy 2:22, 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion hath light with darkness. Okay, then the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. What is 1 Corinthians 13? It's all about charity or biblical love. We should be studying that, and then as a man or a woman who is looking for somebody, and you'll see that we'll be talking about this specific aspect in this lesson, is what am I looking for? Well, 1 Corinthians 13. If they do not have evidence of biblical love in their life, I don't want to be near them. You shouldn't even consider dating them. Don't. You'd say, I mean, how would I know that? Well, some of it is, you're going to, well, one, I'm not hasty. It's not just spur of the moment thing here. It's not all of a sudden, you know, and this goes to all of us as parents and as especially parents, and we're training our young people. It's not, just so you know, I don't have to have the college rule book to determine when my kids can date. You say, I don't have to. You know what? Because I'm a dad. So it could be that I say, you know what, Jennifer, you're not dating until you're 21. The college doesn't determine what I do with my life. And it doesn't have to in yours. You know what I'm going to do, though, is we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at it. And it's not as though it's like, oh, all of a sudden, oh, you know, the church says it's okay, so it's okay. You're the dad. Get involved. List out some things. Study it. All right? We're studying together. We're looking at it. So then we're praying about it. We're praying about it. We're considering what God wants for my daughter, for my sons. I'm considering these things. It's not something hasty. Why? Because what does the Bible say about that? All right, hastiness. I can't remember. Proverbs 19:2. The soul that is without knowledge, for the soul to be without knowledge is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. So guess what happens? You're not preparing properly, even in this idea of dating and for a wife or a husband, and you just hastily jump into something, you're going to sin. How do I know it? Because the Bible says it. It's that simple. You're not preparing properly. You're not praying about it. All right, to me, you'd say, well, I mean, you should pray about a date. Yeah. But you pray for your food. Do you think a date's a little more important than, you know, a burger? I think so. So if you're praying for a burger, you say, oh, but that's just Thanksgiving. All right, don't get all theological on me. Okay, now all of a sudden you want to talk theology. I'm just saying that, all right, if one of the purposes, and we'll talk about this some next week, I mean, one of the purposes is marriage. All right, so if I don't think anything of it to pray about it, then I think you're not spiritual. So then obviously you shouldn't be involved in it. Because how do I, because that which is not of faith, I hate having Bible, is sin. Yeah, it's sin. So if I'm not acting in faith, which means that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if I'm not in the word of God and strengthening my faith and I'm not being a good Christian, then guess what's going to happen? I am going to be in sin in my actions. I've got to be immersed in the word of God. So some of the verses, 2 Timothy 2:22, 2 Corinthians 6:14, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 15:33, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Thessalonians 4, and this is verses 3, 4, and 5. There's a few of them, but this is a crux of one of them. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. We gave you the verse in Proverbs 19, Proverbs 19:2, Proverbs 18 and verse 22. I was studying this, and I was even talking with Pastor Parrish before church. This was an interesting study, because at first I thought it might have contradicted my thought or what I thought God was expressing in Genesis 2. Listen to the verse, Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Well, that idea, right, in Genesis 2, you see that God put Adam to sleep and he brought Eve, right? So here it says, whoso findeth a wife. And I was like, oh, that seems like the man is pursuing. If you look up the Hebrew word, that Hebrew word for findeth means appeareth. So it fits right in, I believe, with what the concept of what God wants. I don't have to be out there searching. Like, oh, I gotta be out there searching. No. There always is a rest in God. And when I have that rest, God will provide the need, and he will bring that person to me. He will lead me. All right? Well, how do I know that? Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So it gives this idea. That's what Pastor Parrish and I were talking about. All right? If I'm on, it gives this idea if I'm on my path of doing right, and what appears? The wife that is for me. Why? Because I'm on the right path. And I don't have to be all anxious about, oh, what's going to happen? You know what? If I'm on the right path, God in his timing, because he knows your life and he knows what's perfect for you. So trust him. Say, oh, that's hard. Trust him. You can trust God. All right, God in his plan. Did he perfectly plan for salvation for you? He did. And so for our children, we can trust God for a mate for them. We don't have to be all anxious about it, all bent out of shape. Because God in his time, what my job is to keep my children on that perfect path then. Hey, don't do that. And give them those guidelines. All right, so that's Proverbs 18:22. Jeremiah 29, I think, helps us here. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is God saying there? God thinks about us. And he has a plan. Because he has an expected end. He has a desire for us. Okay? Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and what's going to happen? Thy thoughts shall be established. So as a young man or a young lady, what should I do with my works? I need to commit that to the Lord. And what's going to happen about my ideas of a mate? God's going to establish the right thought pattern. It's going to be his thought pattern. It's going to be his ideas. Why? Well, because I'm committing it to him. I'm committing it to him. James 1:5. Any of you lack wisdom? What do? Let him ask of God. Giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay, so we... and then 1 Corinthians 10:31. I'll give this one, the last one. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So in the area, so does biblical dating, does it not fall into that area? No, it does. Whatever I do, God needs to get the glory. Whatever. So in the area of dating or relationships, and some people, maybe that would be a better term, you know, a male or female relationship. Okay. It's just, I've always used the term dating. And again, that's what I was telling Pastor Parrish. I'm trying not to get cynical or sarcastic too much, because there are so many ideas that are out there in this regard. You could, like I said, in the area of Christian, you type in Christian dating, you would probably have 100,000 articles that you could read through, and the ideas that are out there are crazy. Right, I'll share one idea. Okay, for instance, one common idea that's out there is that if you practice dating, kind of like we do, you know, it's okay to go to the snack shop and get some ice cream. But if you practice that, what I am doing for my daughter is setting up a pattern of divorce. I have no idea where in the world that is. I'm like, so my daughter having 4 ice creams with 4 different guys, all of a sudden, you're done. You're going to be divorced. You know what? That's it. I'm like, where in the world did you get that? All right, but that's a common idea out there, yeah? You're developing a pattern. Pattern of different man to different man. I'm like, oh, gross. I just, you know what? I'm going to smack you, you little... You know, I think you're thinking really dirty. I'm going to scrub your mind out. All right? Because I'm like, I mean, ice
cream.
All right, just sitting and having ice cream. And so we'll talk about some of these ideas, but what we're trying to do is I want to just look at the Bible. All right, I'm not worried about the world. I'm not worried about what some other guy thinks. What I want to know is what does the Bible say? Well, there's not a ton of ideas that come out, but what I do have is principles. So this is what I can tell you as we're starting out. I give you all these verses because what do I have, though? I have the Bible that can guide me into all truth. I have the Holy Spirit. Okay, now not everybody has this, right? But the majority of young people have parents. Okay, they have godly parents that can help guide them. And then we have a church and we have authority in the church that can help guide us. So with all of that, God's given you a lot of help. He's given you tons of help. And so it's not like, oh, what am I supposed to do? It's not that complicated. Most of us are older, so they're not most. Some are older sitting in here, so we're parents. All right, so as parents, finding God's will. Is it just like 1, 2, 3? Here's the recipe. It's not that way. It's not that easy. In the same way, that's I think the biblical concept of dating. The biblical concept of dating is kind of finding God's will. And because every person is what? An individual. So because we're all individuals, I can't say for this person over here, this, I know it's God's will. I don't know that. Why? Because I'm not you. And God has a specific will for you, and you have to find it. You have to find it. Now, can I help you with principles? Yes, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help you establish some godly principles. So I give you a bunch of verses there. So in this lesson, what we're going to finish up with for the next 10 minutes, okay, is giving you then some guidelines for a young woman or guidelines for a young man. What are some guidelines? All right, so let me give you a couple of things. These are some things that I believe biblically are a must. What are some things that are a must? All right, number one, it's very easy. That was already in one of the verses. Saved. I don't even consider somebody that's unsaved. Don't even consider it. Why? Well, because what is the one verse? Do not be unequally yoked. That means I am not gonna be sharing. Some people even go so far as to say that they will not partner with somebody in a business that's unsaved. There's a lot of debate on that. And part of that, the reason I don't always, I normally don't recommend it, right? If you were going to ask me as far as an opinion, but there are some fallacies in that because, like, I worked for Little Caesars when I was in college. I was unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. Because I know there was tons of employees for Little Caesars that were not saved because I worked with them. All right, I know they weren't saved. I talked to them about that. Oh, they were some bad dudes, all right, making them pizzas, all right? But, all right, so there can be some fallacies in that argument because then that means I can't work for anybody. Right? Nobody, anywhere, okay? So, but we know this specifically. I can then line it up to marriage. Why should I be married to someone that's No, I shouldn't be married to someone that's unsaved. Okay? I shouldn't start a relationship that way. All right, so some things that are a must that the Bible is clear that I believe they should be saved. Secondly, if I'm looking at it as a Christian, to me, they need to be surrendered to the Lord. Why do I say that? Because whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Right, is I should be surrendered to the Lord. If I am looking for somebody to be with me, whether it's a husband or a wife, then yes, they're saved. But it's not just all right. What does Jude say? They're saved so as by fire. They're just a moderate Christian. But I need somebody. Okay? No. No, I want someone surrendered to the Lord. Why? Because what's the verse in Amos? Can two walk together? Except they be agreed. See, there's biblical principles that I can easily then go to. What are some musts? All right, saved, surrendered to the Lord. Then the third one, a serious Christian. Serious Christian. So, as I'm getting to know somebody, somebody may think it's weird, but again, next week we'll talk some about guidelines. But let's say that a young man and a young lady are getting more serious in a relationship. If they can't talk about the things of the Lord, if it's very uncomfortable, I'd walk away from it. All right? My wife and I, even this last week, we were talking this afternoon about this. I'm glad that we have a relationship that we can talk about the things of God. I wouldn't understand a marriage that couldn't talk about the things of God. Then that would mean that one of us is not a good Christian. If we can't sit and talk, hey, you know, I was talking about Genesis 2. I was talking about different things about the concept of dating. Even I was using that one illustration about, you know, just the snack shop. And I was like, man, you know, I mean, I can't imagine telling my daughter, I'm like, hey, you know what? You know, it's one and done. One and done with the ice cream thing. All right, otherwise, you're developing a little pattern. I think you're going to be divorced soon. All right, I'm like, man, it's the scoop of ice cream. You know, that's it. And so I'm glad that my wife and I can talk about those things. We can talk about different things that maybe God is working on our heart, or maybe a message, or maybe this concept. Why is that important? Because both of us should be serious Christians. Why? Well, because that's John. If you're wanting to know the Bible, okay, that's John 13, 14, 15, 16. I mean, there's a whole bunch of scripture, but we're supposed to be, what should we be doing individually? The goal is that I am being conformed to the image of Christ. So then obviously somebody that I'm going to marry, hopefully that is their desire, that they are being conformed to the image of Christ. So in our conversation, it should be, I'm praying about this. That never comes up. Mm-mm. No. We never talk about Bible reading. We never talk about prayer. We never talk about God convicting us. Those are bad signs. Those are not good things in a relationship that is supposed to be a picture of Christ and his church. Remember that. That's what we're heading towards. Okay? So, saved, surrendered to the Lord, a serious Christian. And then, this is where you can get to a whole bunch of things. But for a guy and a girl, you need to list out biblical qualities. So go through the Bible and do a study. If you're a girl, my recommendation is study men in the Bible and start listing them out. Start in Genesis. So right away, in my mind, I think of Joseph. Now, is it saying that, you know, within the second date, you're like, whoosh. All right. Have you been thrown into a pit? All right. I mean, you got this whole, you're like, so are you in charge? Have you had 7 years of famine? Nope. Okay. All right. I understand there's things you'd be like, all right, how does that? Well, but we know, look at the life of Joseph. What do we know about the life of Joseph? What could he withstand? He could withstand temptation, though. That's a good quality, isn't it? He could stand by himself. How do we know that? All his brothers were basically harassing him, wanting him to crack under pressure, and he stood up against it. Man, that's a good quality. Okay? What else can we can study the life of, who is it? Is it Jacob? And what's the other, what is Jacob, what's his name mean? Deceiver. All right, I'm not thinking I want that. Okay, well, how was he deceptive? He was deceptive in his familial relationships. So then what can you do? All right, what's the relationship with siblings? Right, it's all in the Bible. That, what is that doing? That's, you say, well, that's a whole lot of thinking. All right, don't come to me and do that. All right, because smack, smack, smack. All right, I can't handle it. Because here you're talking about something that is the rest of this earthly life, right, as we call it, it's a death sentence, all right, till death do you part. I mean, the electric chair, marriage, all right, right there, all right, it's a death sentence. All right, here it is, till death do you part. So here is something that is, it's also a picture of Christ and his church. It's a beautiful picture. It's something that is wonderful. The Bible tells us that it is a great thing. Well, then I should put some time thinking about it. So as a lady, as a young lady, I'm starting to think, okay, so what are some biblical qualities? Now, what's also good for me, all right, that's as a man. As a young lady, that's what I've been teaching to the college students. What do you do also? And it's the same for the men. All right, if I'm saying, hey, I want a young man that's this way, turn the spotlight. Turn it around. Because as a young lady, start studying the qualities that you should have. It's not just like, oh, they're not good enough. They're not good enough. They're not Joseph. They're not David. And you're not Esther. I know one of you is. I think I saw her out here. She is actually Esther. All right, but not clean Esther, though. Okay. Guess what? Turn it around. Because, yeah, you may not be Ruth. Okay? You may not be whatever. Because there are biblical... All right, maybe you're not the Proverbs 31 woman. So be careful of, oh, I'm going to do this and this. No, also make sure that in your life, you're putting in those qualities. And it's not super hard. It's not super hard to get in the Bible and start listing them out. And I'm big on journaling. I'm big on listing out that type of stuff and analyzing them. Why am I big on that? Because when you look at guys in the past, as far as biblically, you find that that's what they did. You look at even Christ, right? He was analyzing things all the time. At 12 years old, he's sitting in the temple because he was a godly young man at 12. And he wanted to know. It says he could hear. He was taking it in. It seems to indicate that he was there 3 days sitting there talking with these guys. Can you imagine a 12-year-old sitting down with the rabbis just having a discussion, and the guys in the temple were astonished? Right, that's a serious-minded guy. Okay? Well, he shows us that, man, we've got to have that in us. Paul indicates, examine yourself. Right? And you go through history, and it's showing us that we are looking at ourselves and we're making sure biblically that our lives are lining up. Right? So those are some things that are must. Saved, surrendered, serious Christian. And then we're doing biblical qualities. Let me just give you a couple of things. Then some things that would mean an automatic decline. All right, so here's some must. All right, anti-authority. Be done. Done. I wouldn't even consider it. They're just all of a sudden, done. That's not a question. I'm telling you, anti-authority will get you in trouble. Because what it'll do is, all of a sudden, they're the authority. If they're anti-authority, just start yelling at them. They should like it. Right? They should like you yelling and screaming at them, because they don't like any authority, then you shouldn't have to obey them. And if you're a young lady and you're trying to head towards a good relationship. The husband is the head of the home, then you should be able to yell and scream all you want, right? That must be a pattern of a good home. And you know it's not. Then don't accept it. Anti-authority. Dishonesty. Dishonesty is never a good thing. Dishonesty. The last one, you may think this is odd, but what I'm saying is this would develop. Be careful in especially a dating relationship of what I call exclusiveness. That all of a sudden, I mean, you're not married. Just be very careful. I'm just telling you that a guy or girl, girls, what I, in college, we'd call it the claws, all right? And all of a sudden the claws are in your back. I mean, it wasn't physically, but somehow you felt them. It's like a hook, and you're like, all right, you know what? Mm-mm. You know what? The ball and chain ain't coming on, all right? And so exclusiveness, right, when you're getting to know each other, and that exclusiveness, and they don't like it in a group setting. It's always like, oh, let's go over. You know what? I'm just saying, be cautious. Especially, and I'm talking about in the beginning of a relationship, you know, trying to get to know somebody. Exclusiveness is not something you need to be careful. You need to be careful of that exclusiveness, because what's going to happen is it can lead into immoral behavior. It can lead into wrong thoughts. And I close with this idea, because a lot of times what we think of, I was talking with Pastor Parrish about this, what we think of in a relationship is only physical immorality. Okay? Remember this in a relationship. There is an emotional intimacy that's there. And so in a relationship, as it's growing, you need to have guidance even in the emotions. Especially, ladies, more than anybody, get emotionally attached to somebody. So that's why God has given you guidance. All right? It's dad. So you're talking to dad. Because dad will be able to give that a judge. You say, you'd say, well, I don't have a dad. Well, then there's authority in your life to be talking to them. Because that you need to have, God wants us to have emotional stability. It's all through the Bible. Emotional stability is there. Okay? So if a guy or a girl is making me unstable emotionally, that's not a good thing, just so you know. That's not a good pattern, because God wants us to be stable. That's what he wants in our life. Okay, so those are just some guidelines. Next week we will finish that lesson up. All right, we'll give you some other guidelines in regards to that. What's that?